When you hit save on a computer document, you just trust it's there forever. But when I'm teaching my psychology PhD students about memory, I always have to remind them that our brains, well, they don't have a simple save button.
Right. Yeah, it's a biological ecosystem, not a hard drive. So you
Exactly.
have to actively build those neural pathways if we want to keep them.
Which is why we're here. Welcome to your deep dive into week one, day seven of the Laws of Life workbook.
Yeah, today isn't really about heavy lifting. It's about hitting that mental saves button.
Right, the mission today is preparing you for your final day seven task, which is writing your module one long-term code.
Locking in that mental reprogramming you've started this week about valuing your time.
And the task itself is pretty highly targeted.
Yeah, you're going to review your week one practice list and select exactly one mental code rewrite, one distill point, and one quote that resonated the most.
Just one of each. And well, since we've been doing the work right alongside you this week, I'll actually share mine.
Oh, please do.
So, from a psychological perspective, cognitive load is everything. So I picked Shakespeare's quote, "Better 3 hours too soon than a minute too late."
That's a great one.
Right, because arriving early physically alters your brain chemistry. When you rush, your amygdala triggers a stress response.
Oh, the cortisol flood.
Exactly, it floods your system with cortisol. By arriving early, you drastically reduce the mental friction of transitioning between tasks.
So your brain isn't just, operating in a state of chronic alarm all day.
Precisely. What about you?
Well, looking at this as a neuroscientist, my selections were really focused on plasticity.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I chose the code, when I meet with someone, remove distractions and give them my full attention.
I love that.
And for my distill point, I went with repeated lateness programs your mind to devalue commitments.
Okay, wait. I'm curious about the mechanism there. Why does lateness specifically devalue the commitment internally?
Well, because the brain constantly self-programs based on repeated behaviors. It's a process we call experience-dependent neuroplasticity.
Right, the old neurons that fire together wire together.
Exactly. If you routinely show up late or, distracted, you are literally wiring your neural pathways to treat those interpersonal connections as low priority.
Wow.
But practicing presence actually strengthens the physical circuits in your brain that place intrinsic value on your commitments.
That is fascinating. But remember, you need to pick your own combination today.
Yes, definitely pick your own.
Think about the mathematical reality here. If you select your own unique code, quote, and distill point across all 16 laws in this workbook, the odds of anyone else picking your exact combination are, well, truly astronomical.
It's basically a completely unique fingerprint.
Right. And the value isn't just in being unique. In psychology, we call this the generation effect. Information is encoded much deeper into your memory if you actively generate it from your own mind.
Rather than just passively reading it, yeah.
Exactly. You aren't just filling out a workbook here, you are literally writing a personalized operations manual for lifelong growth.
So true. But, neuroplasticity is a use it or lose it system.
Oh, right. So, okay, I've written this new source code and I feel great today. But how do we stop the brain from overwriting this new habit by next week?
That's where the maintenance phase comes in. The three times a day ritual, and of course, that bedtime question.
The one asking how to better spend our limited time on Earth.
Yeah, that one.
I have to admit, pondering my own mortality right before sleep sounds like a recipe for insomnia, not a peaceful night. I mean, from a biological standpoint, isn't that just triggering anxiety?
It sounds totally counterintuitive, I know, but it's actually about memory consolidation.
Really? How so?
During REM sleep, your hippocampus replays the day's final emotional spikes and essentially decides what to encode into the cerebral cortex for long-term storage.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So by asking that question, you aren't inducing panic. You are deliberately queuing up the brain's overnight processing priorities.
So the last concept you process deeply influences the neural networks that remain active overnight.
Exactly. And it becomes the very first thing you think of upon waking.
So we are basically telling the hippocampus what files to keep open.
You got it.
That perfectly explains the day seven mental hack for tonight.
Oh, the new line for the bedtime review.
Yes. Before sleeping tonight, you add this to your review. I can't wait to start the next chapter's work tomorrow. I am excited about the discoveries it will lead me to.
It's brilliant because you are pre-programming positive anticipation.
Right.
You're leveraging your own neurochemistry, specifically a mild dopamine release tied to future reward, to just build momentum for week two.
It's so simple, but so effective. And hey, you've successfully completed your first week of neural rewiring.
Congratulations. The pathways are young, but they are definitely there.
Just make sure you do your daily practice and that bedtime question one more time tonight.
Because as we've established, time is the ultimate root capital of life.
Exactly. We're all forced to spend exactly 24 hours of it every single day, regardless of what we do.
No exceptions.
Right. So I want to leave you with this. What happens to the compound interest of your life when you begin intentionally investing those hours instead of just spending them?